Hello and welcome to International Report. In today's edition, we'll go to the United States, specifically to the dynamic neighborhood of Harlem in New York City, where we'll meet Dr. Melissa Freeman. Despite her age of 92 years of age, she's still running her own private practice in Harlem. She can be found there some nights working until 1 a.m. Other days, she's in Lower Town Manhattan running a methadone clinic. In fact, she is long considered a pioneer in that field after being the first doctor to treat female heroin addicts with methadone as a maintenance program. When she first set off into studying medicine, she broke many barriers as a female African American. Her own family history began with her grandfather, who was a slave in Virginia just before the Emancipation Act was signed. Colin Flynn caught up with Dr. Freeman at her clinic in Harlem in this report.
Where are we now, Melissa?
Well, you're right in front of my office in Harlem. We're going up the steps.
How long have you had this practice here?
Since 1981.
You've been here at this spot?
1981, I came
wow.
in here.
How many patients have walked through your doors over those years?
Do you really want me to know? I didn't keep a count.
I'm in Harlem, in Uptown Manhattan, paying a visit to Dr. Freeman's private clinic.
Good afternoon, Dr. Freeman's office.
They haven't opened yet, but already they're busy.
Just a minute.
Dr. Freeman is the definition of a hard worker. She splits her time between this clinic in Harlem and a methadone clinic she's involved in down in the Lower East Side of Manhattan.
You definitely have to call Beatrice Lee.
And it's not unusual to find her here working right into the late hours, as her receptionist can testify.
The other night I didn't get home until almost 1 a.m. working with her.
Because she just wants to keep going and going.
She wants to keep going and going. She wanted to keep going. I said, look, we're going home. You're not spending the night here. She truly enjoys what she does.
It's hard to grab her, but I do. And I sit down with Dr. Freeman in her office, whose full name is...
Melissa M. Freeman. We're sitting in my office. We're sitting in my study at 147th Street in Harlem.
Now, Melissa, it's normally rude to ask a woman her age, but I know that you don't mind being asked what age you are.
No, I don't mind at all. I am 91 years old, approaching 92.
Yes, you heard right. Dr. Freeman is just a week shy of her 92nd birthday, and she's been working in medicine for over 6.5 decades.
In 1955, I received my medical degree from a university called Howard University in Washington, D.C.
Was it always your dream to be a doctor?
No. Actually, I didn't know that I was going to do it. I was a music student. I knew I wasn't going to be a musician. My father had introduced me to the piano when I was 7 years old. But he always said if I didn't want to do music, I could do whatever I wanted to. I knew at that point that I was not going to be a musician.
Melissa studied music and art at Hunter College, but always had a great interest in science. And then one day, a family friend suggested that she become a doctor, and the idea stuck. So she started looking into it.
And I would read stories of women physicians. There were never any women of African descent. And I went to my mother and her sister, sat them down, and I said, I want to tell you something. And they said, yes. And I said, I've decided that I'm going to go to medical school. I want to go to medical school.
Because the odds were stacked against you. It was very unusual to have an African-American young girl who wanted to get into medicine. Did it seem like an unobtainable dream?
Well, it was not only for African-American women, it was for women in general. The medical schools were not very eager to take women because their theory was women would marry and leave the field. I don't know anybody who married and left the field. They married, they had their families, and they continued to practice. So it was just not an easy thing to get accepted into a medical school for anybody, for any woman.
And what was it about medicine that really attracted you?
I don't know. My dad had passed away from cancer, and I don't know whether that played a role. I was very fond of my father, and of course, he directed my life to a great extent in terms of getting an education. He died when I was 13, but I discovered that his death was due to cancer.
Growing up in New York City, Melissa, what kind of family did you grow up in? What was your childhood like?
I grew up in a loving family. I grew up in a section of the Bronx known as Williams Bridge. It was a smaller area in the Bronx. the area that I grew up in was ethnically mixed.
And education was always emphasized in your house, isn't that right?
Exactly. This was something my father constantly said, the children must get an education. He grew up in rural Alabama, and he wanted an education. He was not able to attain it, but he insisted that all of us must get an education. We had to get an education, so we all knew that a college education was going to be part of our lives.
You mentioned there that your father grew up in Alabama, mm-hmm. and your mother's family had come from Virginia, from very, very tough beginnings.
Well, my mother did. My mother was born in Virginia. Her father and grandmother were slaves. They were born in slavery. Her father was a slave taken away from his mother as a child.
Good afternoon, Dr. Freeman's office.
Dr. Freeman's grandfather was a slave, sold away from his mother as a child, and was a teenager when the Emancipation Proclamation was signed. He eventually reunited with his mother, and they moved from the South to New York City and the Bronx.
He never discussed it with us, his grandchildren. His children told us the story about him being sold away. They never told us what life was like. I don't know how much he explained to them of what his life was like. He went back to his mother. She didn't recognize him because, of course, he'd grown during these 7 or so years. And he identified himself to her. He told her he was her son, Albert, and they never parted.
And what do you remember about his character?
Up early in the morning, he told the children nothing about his background, but we would run out in the morning to school. We'd say, good morning, Papa, and he would say, good morning, quiet. He was a quiet man, very, very quiet, well-mannered. On Sundays, he would dress neatly. He was a Christian man. He read his Bible. We don't know how much he could read, but obviously he read his Bible, and there was a favorite hymn that he had, and when I learned to play the piano, he would ask me to play this hymn for him, and he would sing along, and then he would just listen to it.
What was the hymn?
Sweet Hour of Prayer. Sweet Hour of Prayer.
Sweet Hour of Prayer. Sweet Hour of Prayer.
Does it anger you, Melissa, when you think about it?
Very much. Very much. It was a horrible time. And yes, it does. It hurts to think that people were just treated like animals.
And it was in the recent past. It was your grandfather.
My grandfather. It was a man that we knew. As I said, I knew him for 17 years of my life.
And to think that he was a slave. And
to think that he had been born into that kind of a life, taken away, torn away. I mean, I can imagine the life that I had, with a loving mother and father. Had I been taken away from them at an early age, I can imagine what it must have been for him.
Despite his difficult beginnings, her grandfather endeavored to do something with his life and worked as a reptile keeper in the famous Bronx Zoo.
Are you amazed at how things have changed in this country? Because, let's say for your grandfather, if someone had told him you will have a granddaughter who will be a practicing doctor in New York City, he probably would have thought, that's unbelievable, that will never happen.
You probably would have never thought it could be possible. Never would have thought it possible.
I'll cast on him my every care.
Although she never pursued music as a career, music is still a great passion of Melissa's, and she's a regular visitor to the opera and the Philharmonic here in New York City.
So the birthday is coming up. How do you feel about growing older? Does it bother you at all?
Not one bit.
Not one bit?
Not one bit. I'm ready to move on wherever, as far as I can go. I don't worry about that at all. Age is just a number. As long as I can keep going, and I hope that somebody will tell me, okay, Freeman, you're losing it.
And what about retirement? Do you think, oh, I've been working in this field for 6.5 decades, I've done it all, now it's time to put my feet up and relax and enjoy the opera more and the Philharmonic?
Well, I managed to get those squeezed in anyway.
But so you don't want to retire now?
No. No. I have no interest in retirement. It's fascinating. Medicine is a fascinating field.
Dr. Freeman, when people talk about your life, they say that you have broken through that glass ceiling, that you are a trailblazer, an inspiration. When you hear these things, how do they sit with you?
I'm only doing what I want to do. I'm helping. And if it inspires somebody else, as I was inspired, That's all I'm interested in, is doing my job.
There are millions of people listening now all over the world. Tell them, what is the secret to enjoying a full, healthy and hearty life like you have?
I think it's the love of wanting to help, and finding when you do help, there's a certain surge within you. The women in our family never drank, never smoked. I have never been a smoker, and I've never been a drinker. A zest for life, a zest for helping.
And you're not stopping now. At 92, you still want to go and see places and do things?
There's still things that I have to see. I have not been to Australia and New Zealand. I have not been to Ireland and Scotland.
You'll have to get to Ireland.
I'll keep going as long as I can.
Well, Dr. Melissa Freeman, to say it was a pleasure meeting you and chatting with you is an understatement. I want to say thank you so much for sharing your story and your time.
And thank you so much for being here and being so generous.
Lovely.
Oh, gosh.
It's good, isn't it?
Yeah, it's wonderful.
Sweetheart.